We don't really have a topic this week. We're just going to catch up on things because it's been a while since we've talked about what we're up to. And Michael actually came to Florida to visit for like 2 weeks. He was staying at our parents' house. And I went over there one time and we talked for maybe 2 minutes, maybe 5 minutes. And that was it. So we haven't even really talked to each other in quite a while. So we're just going to kind of chill and catch up in this episode. And I figure we start with maybe how was your week? You know, it's Monday. What'd you do on the weekend? And what do you plan to do for the rest of the week? And how's it going?
Okay, cool. It's been going all right. This week, I traveled back from Florida to here. And I don't know if I'm just paying more attention to it. Maybe I'm just older. But the time change, bedtime wake up stuff, just it really messes me up so much. We had the time change, and then like 2 days later I flew to Florida, so it totaled a 4 hour difference, and that was so brutal. And I'm sleeping in a room where there's not like, you can't really black out the curtains, so you know, the sun comes up and you're awake whether you like it or not. So I've been trying to figure out the jet lag a lot. And I had a day, I think it like was Saturday. I've been back for a couple days and I've been really forcing myself to get up early, like 6:30, but I was kind of having trouble getting to bed, or I was falling asleep too early and then waking up and all this stuff. But I woke up and I felt just this overwhelming wave of anxiety, not quite panic attack level, but just for no reason at all. Like, I feel so bad. I don't know what to do with myself. And I took the dog for a walk, and I could just really tell, because this dog, he's great. I love him, but he is not super well behaved on walks. He just likes to kind of lunge off into traffic and he's always trying to find street food and pee on everything he can find, stuff like that. So it's always a bit of a struggle between us. But I could just tell how anxious I was, because I was getting so frustrated with him. And I'm just like, man, I'm so mad at my dog for no reason. Like, he's just doing the same thing he always does. And so, I don't know, I was like having a bit of a, not crisis, but I just didn't really know what to do. And so I came home and I had made this list for myself of all the stuff I wanted to do. My wife is gone right now, so it's just me. So I'm like, I'm going to be super productive and do all these things, and just nothing. Just nothing. So I just decided to like sit and play a video game. And even that was hard. Like, I just can't, just like, just full of anxiety. But I finally kind of settled in. I was playing Slay the Spire, and I finally beat Ascension 6, which I won't tell you what any of that means, but like, you beat the game, then the game gets a little harder and you're trying to beat it again. I've been stuck on Ascension 6 for a super long time, but I beat it. I'm like, oh man, I beat it. That's awesome. And then I'm like, I think I feel a little bit better. I think I'm gonna go for a run. And I've been really trying to focus on the running lately. And I was, you know, at the start of the day, I'm like, there's no way. But after beating the game, I'm like, okay, I feel pretty good. I'll just go for a quick run, you know, just at least do that. And then I wound up just running and feeling really great. And I just kind of kept going. And I wound up doing 7 miles, which is the farthest I have ever run. And so I, you know, did the longest run of my life on that day. And then I just wound up feeling really fantastic. Like, I beat Ascension 6 and I did a really long run, and then I've been kind of in the groove ever since. And nice. I don't know what lesson to take from that or anything, but it just made me really happy.
Well, I've had days like that where you just wake up and you just hate everything, and no matter what you try to do, it just doesn't work. I like your game method though. Just play a game.
I had this something you said that stuck with me a little bit, even though I don't think this was really what you were talking about. You said something like plan around who you are, not who you want to be. And I think it was you, and I really liked it. And I think it was kind of one of those moments where I had such a mismatch between how I felt and how I wanted to feel. I really wanted to be doing certain things, but I wasn't, and I couldn't get myself to do them. I wanted to exercise. I wanted to work on my projects. I wanted to do all this productive stuff, and it just was not happening. And I was anxious, and then also very unhappy with the fact that I felt anxious. You know, I kept thinking about, a week all to myself, and the weather's nice, and it's going to be so great, and I'm going to do all these things, and then just it wasn't happening. And somehow the process of accepting that wound up getting me through that, and I ended up just feeling really great and having a great day.
Well, that was, I had a few days to myself a week or two ago, and I also had a big list of a bunch of things I wanted to do. And one of them was watch Edward Scissorhands, because I had been thinking about the movie, and I love that movie. But anyway, I really wanted to watch it. And I was just having one of those days where I was so, I don't know, anxious, angry, upset about nothing, but I don't know. And I ended up watching it, but I was so angry watching the whole thing. It's like, no, just relax and enjoy the movie. It's like, no. And yeah, it just sucked.
That's a weird thing when you're doing something that you are supposed to enjoy and you don't. And I don't know. I don't know what causes that situation, but I've been there.
But you've been good ever since? Like you beat the jet lag and everything else?
I mean, it's only been a few days. That was Saturday, so this is day three of feeling not terrible. But yes, ever since Saturday, I've been feeling pretty good.
All right, so Ascension 6 has served you well, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's possible that was it, that just literally beating the level in a video game flipped my mind around a little bit, which is funny to think about because it's almost random. I mean, I've probably taken 15 attempts at that, and I happened to get through it when I was having a bad day, which made me feel better, which got me to go for a run, which ended up going really well and feeling good. And then my whole life is different since then, just because of getting blessed with RNG on this game. And I might be in a miserable spot if not for just getting good relic drops.
How about everything else? Like, what else are you up to? I don't know.
I'm trying to get myself back into doing project work. I went to Florida, and to be honest, I don't really want to talk about this today, but had to deal with some stressful stuff, just like family things and some family members kind of going through some stuff. Basically, it was a bit of a stressful trip for those reasons, and it was all I could do to kind of keep up with just normal job stuff and everything. So it wound up, that's all I did, and I completely set aside all of the stuff that I've been interested in and working on. And then I got back and was having a rough time. And a couple times I sat down thinking, all right, you know, again, this is me. I'm alone for a week. I'm going to work on my project. It's kind of getting to where I need to think about release and everything. So there's a bit of pressure. And it just, you talk about the motivation train, right? How you have to push it. Well, this was like the wheels had frozen and it wasn't moving at all. And that was discouraging too. But I finally, after that day, the next day in the morning, I sat myself down at a coffee shop and worked through, had to suffer for like half an hour of just, I'm going to stare at this and I'm going to wait for my mind to accept it as what we're doing. And it took about that long, probably half an hour at least, before it started to click. And then finally, once the train started moving, then I'm like, this is cool, and I'm working on it. And I worked on it again today, and it's like, hey, I'm back. I feel good about this. it's a little frustrating to have this big gap of no progress for 2 weeks, but I made it back. I got the momentum. And it's, I don't know, it's just funny to me how much that effect really seems to be in play, where you just have to get, even across days, it's not even a momentary thing. It's like, I have to be in the mindset where I'm doing this, and once I've got it going, then it's not a big deal. But with enough time going by, just there's this big barrier where I can't get it going again. But I did, and I'm feeling good about that.
And this is you have multiple projects you're working on now, right?
Yeah, there's a few. Some we've talked about, some I think we haven't. This is the flashcard app, which has turned into a whole thing.
Of course.
And I mean, I don't know how in the weeds we want to get, but what I'm having to build right now, which I never intended to, but it turned out that that was just what had to be done, is I'm building it in these two different programming languages, essentially. So there's Flutter, which is largely a Google project that does user interface type stuff. So you define, buttons and text and things like that. And then I'm using a lower level language called Nim, and that's more similar to like C or something. But I wanted to build all the guts of it in Nim because I really like it and it's very powerful, but I wanted to use Flutter for the user interface stuff. And there's a way to kind of bridge between them where you write a function over here and then you kind of have to set up a little bit of glue and things to translate from one to the other. And then you write a function over here in Dart and you can like talk to them. And I figured this will be fine. I'll just write my stuff over here, create the little bit of glue code that I need and it'll be all right. But it turns out that the glue code is actually like massive and really cumbersome. And it was getting to the point where I would make one little change or add one little thing and then spend half an hour having to re-glue stuff together. And I, in a day I would have 2 hours to work and I'd spend half of it having to work on the glue. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah,
so
sure.
I had to write another program that generates the glue. So I would write something over here in Nim and then I would run this program that would read it and figure out what it meant and then generate all the stuff in order to connect that over from Nim to Dart. And it turned out to be really interesting for me and something I've never done before, because it's like they call it metaprogramming, but essentially you're writing code that operates on code itself. Like you're becoming this sort of code god that you're not just doing what a program says, you're actually looking at the program itself and thinking about that, and then having to create from this higher level abstraction. They call it an abstract syntax tree, but you create this higher level abstract syntax tree, and then I have to like figure out how that works in Nim and then in Dart and then in JavaScript and like create all this stuff. So anyway, that's what I've been doing. It's been really fascinating, and I have this friend that I've made recently who's really just a really smart guy and understands a lot of this stuff really well. So I've been able to have some really good conversations with him to kind of help me think through it. And that's been awesome. I feel like I've started to understand things at a deeper level than I had before. But at the same time, the actual goal here is to deliver an app. And I'm instead building this abstract syntax tree translator tool that's like a little bit out there. But it kind of needed to be done because of the way I chose to do this. And I think it's, if I can get it working well, it would be a really awesome thing to just release for its own sake, for anybody wanting to do what I'm doing. Because I think if you drew a Venn diagram of the people doing Nim and doing Flutter and what I'm doing, like there's this little sliver that is me and no one else. I don't think anyone has ever done this. So it'd be kind of cool to put that out there.
I feel like you have a lot of things that would be cool to put out there.
Yeah,
but
I think a lot of people, I know, and that was my goal for the year, which was to release things and make them public and It is April, and that has not happened yet, and I'm keenly aware.
You could say the same about me. But...
Okay, I would like to say the same about you. What are you releasing? Tell me about what you're up to.
Okay. Well, I'm working on another painting, which I guess would be my third painting, which, you know, in a year and a half, I think, is about as long as it's been since I started.
Third painting since you decided to make.
Yep. Yep. Third one. And by now, I think I wanted maybe like 12 or 15 or something. Okay. So I'm a little behind as well. But I'm working on my third painting. I've got two YouTube videos that I'm editing right now. One for my last painting and another for this painting. I got a new computer. I got like a MacBook Pro, which I should have gotten so long ago, but it's hella expensive. But I bought it anyway. And oh my God, the speed at which I can just transfer footage from my phone to the computer, it's just, you just airdrop it. When I was using the Windows, I would have to go through this huge long process, and it was always like encoded wrong, and it just screwed everything up, and it took forever. So I'm very excited about that. I can edit so quickly. I also switched from Adobe Premiere to Adobe Rush because I don't really need the extra stuff in Adobe Premiere. And it's just so much faster. So I'm really excited about just that. Making videos
me.
Is...
So our other brother, Steven, Solarpunk Steve, as the internet knows him as, also bought a MacBook largely for the same reason, because he was struggling to transfer files from his phone to his computer and wanted to edit faster. And that's awesome. But also, my God, it's not that hard to transfer a file. I'm not saying you're doing it wrong, but just... Oh, we've been doing that for
hard.
A long time. I know, but Apple solved a problem that shouldn't be a problem, and it's embarrassing that Windows and Android doesn't have a straightforward way of doing that. It's a joke.
Well, I think they do it so you have to solve the problem by buying their products, and it worked. It was extremely annoying. But I don't even want to get into that. But anyway... I'm excited about the fact that I don't have to deal with that problem anymore. I guess the bad guys won, but whatever.
They're all bad guys, so what's the difference?
Yeah, well, I'm a bad guy too, and I won, because now it's faster for me. Right. But anyway, I'm excited about that. It's really cool. I want to make more videos now, and it just seems so much easier. So I'm working on two videos. I'm working on my third painting. I have a gallery show on Thursday. Well... I have one painting in a gallery show that is on Thursday that I'm going to.
Tell me about that. That's pretty cool.
So it's my first painting that I did, the big squid one. And it's an awards show. They do like these different shows at the art gallery that I do the life drawings at. So, they do like a new show every 3 months or something. And this one is their awards show. So you submit your best work, and then they give out awards. I don't know if they give out rewards, but they have awards. And so anyway, I got in, and my one piece will be in the show on Thursday. So I'm kind of excited about that, because I haven't really done... I did one show a long time ago, but I haven't really done anything like this before. So I think that's cool.
That's
kind of just
awesome
doing it
that it got accepted.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not like a big deal, but it's kind of cool. It'll be a sort of a first for me. And I kind of just want to start getting into displaying my workplaces and doing stuff. I'm not real picky at this time. I just want to start doing things. That same painting also was on the cover of a magazine recently. Which is,
you,
that was fun.
You showed me that. That's really cool. It's funny because, I don't know, we talked about this at length, but you were kind of unhappy with the painting in some respects, and, you know, I'd felt a bit negative about it. And how do you feel now that it's gotten some recognition? I know it did very well on the art subreddit, which is no small thing. It's in a gallery. It was on the cover of a magazine.
Well, I find this side of it kind of fascinating. That, you know, you focus on a piece of work that you're working on, and you compare it to the things that are in your head, or the artists that you know, or just the world that you live in, which is usually, you know, pretty educated in that direction. So, like, if I'm an artist, I spend a lot of time looking at art, and so sure. I have certain, I don't know, certain standards or whatever, like any artist or any musician or any whatever. So you judge yourself according to your taste level or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I finish a painting, that painting specifically, and I'm like, ugh, it wasn't what I wanted it to be. You know, I'm comparing it to the people that I look up to, whatever. It doesn't match up. And so you just have this overall feeling of, I don't even want to show people. I don't want to make the YouTube video on it because it's not even worth it. And then we made a pact to make YouTube videos, whatever. I ended up doing it, and then I posted it on the art Reddit, and then I start, you know, showing it around places. And it wasn't like, oh my God, this is a masterpiece. But there were people that liked it. And on the art Reddit, there was a lot of people that liked it.
Yeah.
And I've shown it off at a couple other places, and there's a pretty good response from it, which was very strange to me. It was just kind of fascinating. Like, you start to see the same picture move to different worlds, and it does different things, and it reacts different ways. And it's not like every friend and every family member I showed it to was like, man, that's amazing. Some people really like it. Some people are like, why are you painting this? This is weird.
Or did people really say that?
No, but you can see it in their facial expressions and stuff. You can just feel it. It's a, yeah. Oh, okay. Or, you know, it's not any sort of...
Yeah, it doesn't click with everyone.
That's yeah, fair. But some people, it clicks, and they really like it. Mm-hmm. And then other people, it's, you know, whatever. But just to see, like, this one thing that is... It's just this... I don't know. In my mind at the beginning, it was this very direct, it's not as good as it should be. But then you show it around in other places, and it does all these weird things. And sometimes I feel like, oh, maybe it is good. And other times I'm thinking, you know, it's whatever. But I'm at the point now, I mean, I did it, you know, a year and a half ago or a year ago or something. So I'm kind of over that initial mm-hmm. impression of it. And now I'm just sort of watching it do these other weird things. Like, get put on a cover of a magazine. Some people really like that. And I just thought that was really cool. And so forget about how I feel about the painting. It's on the cover of a magazine. And it was a little Colombian magazine. It wasn't anything crazy, but it was just kind of fun to see. I mean, they liked it enough to put it on the cover of their thing. And now it's going, you know, it was chosen to go into the show. So I'm just kind of enjoying that aspect of it. And so now when I'm working on a new painting, even if I feel like, oh man, maybe it's not as good as it should be or whatever, like those types of feelings, there's this other part of me that's like, well, I don't know. Like, I don't know what it will do mm-hmm. in different places. And so, I don't know, it's just kind of fun. And it's something I want more people to experience, or the type of people that think like me, that sort of doubt what they see in their work, to just see it react in other places. Like, what happens? I don't know. It's just kind of a fascinating, weird thing that I'm enjoying.
There's this line in The Three Body Problem, which is a book series that I really, really love and have been rereading.
And yeah, I keep hearing people talk about it.
Well, it just became a Netflix series a few days ago, which, please watch it, because I really want a season 2, and I'm afraid we won't get one unless people don't watch it. It is good.
I think people are watching it.
Okay. I hope so. The book is dramatically better, and I'm not just a book snob. It really is much better, but they did do a good job with the show. Anyway, there's this line that I really like, which is, I can't remember the scenario where this comes up, but there's some character saying, if I love you, what business is that of yours? I think is how he says it. If I love you, what business is it of yours? And that,
you want to try it one more time?
Yeah, one more time. I'll edit this down. I'll cut together the bits of these sentences until it works. If I love you, what business of it is yours?
Good job.
I think. But it makes me think about your painting. And this is how I felt about music and art in general, is if you connect to something, you connect to a piece of art. I don't connect to you. I mean, I do because we're brothers and whatever, but imagine someone else. Like, you put out a piece of art, and the whole point of art is that I can see it or hear it and have some emotional response to it. And that's between me and the art. I don't care about you. I don't care how you feel about it. I connect with the piece of art. And despite you having these conflicting feelings about it, you know, or at least originally, I feel like I don't care. It's not your business. I love the painting, I love the painting. And I don't know, there's something about that that I think you can start to see, where you put it out and people connect to it. And you might have felt a certain way about it, or felt like there were things you weren't happy with, but who cares? It's not your business.
I completely agree. And that's where I want to be, is sort of, it's not really my place to decide if it's good or if it's bad. I just make it. I mean, I do my best, but then you just sort of release, like you just let it go and then see what happens. Yeah. And yeah, I've talked about this stuff before. I've heard other people talk about it, whatever, but I'm starting to actually experience it. And just seeing this thing take on a life of its own, it's just cool.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, all, you know, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder, whatever, but it really is. When I look at, let's say you look at the sunset, there's actually nothing that is like scientifically beautiful about the sunset, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing that definitively rules that beautiful. That sort of thing doesn't exist. It's all in your head. You feel like you're experiencing the sunset, but you're just experiencing yourself seeing this thing, and it's sort of, it's hitting certain marks in your head or whatever. It's doing something, but it's not really the thing. It's you. It's just you. So if you are liking a piece of art, it's actually you that you're liking it. The beauty is in the person looking at it. So you can't really decide if your art is good or bad. It's, I don't know, is it good or bad to you? It might be good or bad to somebody else. I don't know.
Yeah. I got a new TV.
Is it like bigger?
It's, so get this. I bought a 65-inch TV. That's what we had before. We got a new 65-inch TV, which some people think is big, but if you do the math, just based on sitting distance, it's like slightly too small for our living room. It's really not that big. But it was $299 for a 65-inch TV that has a pretty good panel.
It's pretty cheap, right?
Yeah, it feels suspiciously cheap. I mean, I think that it costs more because I was looking for a dumb TV, like just a display that doesn't have all this crap in it. And they're much more expensive. You can get a 65-inch panel that doesn't have any of this garbage in it, and it's like twice as much. And so I think that the price of the TV is being heavily subsidized by all the crapware that they pre-install on the television. Like, it's got ads in it, and it's got, you know, all these services that are pre-installed and everything. And so I think that's what's happening, is that it's getting cheaper because other companies are paying them to have their stuff in it. And it's kind of gross. Like, the eventual endpoint is that all of this stuff is free. You know, like, I bought this new phone, same thing. This phone was $160, which is just really suspiciously cheap. But it came pre-installed with all kinds of crap. And I have gone through, you know, I have to delete it all, and then it comes back in a couple days, and I have to delete it, and it's this whole thing. But I think eventually it becomes free, and it's just infested with garbage. Yeah. I think that's just where we're headed.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. So anyway, that started off as a lighthearted thing, but you know, it made me upset. It's but at the same time, like, I'm happy that I got a $299 TV and I haven't connected it to the internet, so hopefully it can't do too much.
They don't sound that happy, but yeah, well, congratulations. Yeah. On a TV that's infested with ads and stuff.
Yeah. Welcome to what the future. Other
depressing things have been going on?
No, it's your turn.
Okay. So MegaCon happened. It's the Comic-Con of Orlando, Florida.
Mm-hmm. MegaCon. I've been to MegaCon. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have too. It happened in February. And after I saw that, I was like, man, I want to do that. I want to set up an artist booth at MegaCon. So I went to the website and I tried to sign up for an Artist Alley booth, you know, just the smallest table, whatever, available. And it said it was sold out. And I'm still not sure if it's sold out for, if it just says sold out because they're talking about last year, or if it's sold out for 2025 and, or sold out for this year, or if it's sold out for next year at 2025. So I signed up for the waiting list, but it might already be sold out. I have no idea because I don't know. I don't understand their website or anything. Mm-hmm. But if I get into MegaCon 2025, which I would really like to do, I think that'd be a lot of fun. I need to complete a whole lot of paintings by February 2025, which I think would be the perfect motivator for me. I think it'd be a lot of fun. So if I can get into MegaCon 2025, I will, and I will set up a booth with whatever I got and just try to do that show. I think that'd be a lot of fun, even if it's just, you know, four paintings or something. But
it would be interesting to see, because you said the last year and a half you've done three?
Paintings? Two.
Right?
I'm working on a third.
Right, you haven't finished a third.
But so I figured it out, and I would have to complete, because I would want a total of eight paintings. I can't remember the exact math, and I've drank a whole lot of wine. But basically, I have to complete this painting by May 15th, the next painting by July 31st, and the next one by October 15th, and then the one after that on December 31st. So it'd be four paintings before then, and then I'd have, I think, eight or seven or six or whatever. And then that would be enough. I mean, that would be a minimal amount that I could then turn into prints and just have a little booth. But I don't know if that'll happen. But basically, in the next year or so, I really want to do a show with all my art, original art, and have prints and stuff available for sale and just see what that's like. And it would sort of be this little microcosm of a website or of an online store. Mm-hmm. And just kind of, I don't know, figure out what it's like to put everything in order, get the products, and then put it out there. What does that look like? How does that feel? That's what I want to do in the next year or so.
Yeah.
Hopefully MegaCon, but probably it. I think it's already sold out, so I don't think that's happening. But
okay, well, we'll see. Sounds like not great website design if you're struggling with that. But it would be cool to compare this coming year to the past to see if it does motivate you to be more prolific than you have been, you know?
Yeah. And this third painting that I'm doing, I'm trying a whole different method. Like, I'm skipping all the drawing stages, all the beginning stuff. And I'm just starting painting right away. Cause I figured I run into epic problems in every single painting. So why not just skip the preparation and just jump straight into the problems? I just start solving them. And it seems to be going okay. I don't want to jinx it, but it seems to be going all right. And it's moving along much faster. So if I could do that, I don't know. I'm trying different stuff, and it seems to be going a bit faster than what I normally do. So we'll see.
All right. But, well, you've been shuffling around for a while, so we'll see if that makes a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. What do you hope to have happen in the next year or so?
I don't know.
Hopefully release some stuff, right?
Yeah. I have to make myself release some things soon. One interesting thing is one of the projects I'm working on is with another person now, and that hasn't happened up to this point. So I'm interested to see how that works. It seems like there's one of two dynamics that can happen when you're working on a project with someone else. One is where either person kind of pushes things forward, where maybe he's motivated for a while, says, hey, I'm working on this, you got to work on that, let's push it along. And then I become more motivated and we push it along. But there's also this opposite effect that can happen where it's like one, I'm kind of ready to work, or one person is ready to work and the other is like, I didn't really get anything done this week. And then the other person goes, you're right, let's chill. And it's like a demotivation synergy where the least motivated person winds up kind of infecting the other person. And I'm not sure which that is yet, but I do notice that dynamic playing out, and we'll see. It seems it can be dangerous.
What do you think it was when we made that game? When we made Unicycle Boy?
We did deliver that.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. I know
you want me to
make it. I don't know. That's a good question.
I remember like we were both pretty motivated.
We were. I remember getting incredibly obsessed with building the game engine. I mean, to a fault, for sure. There was a 2D game engine at the time. I don't know how much you remember this, because you weren't like necessarily paying attention as much to the code parts. But we built the game on an engine called Cocos 2D, which I don't know if that's still around. And I got frustrated with certain elements of it, and I decided to just write my own. And so I spent months building my own game engine, like all the way up from just pushing buffers to the GPU. I mean, it was pretty low level, and I built particle effects and like all this, you know, screen space clipping, rendering optimizations and stuff. So I know I was very obsessed with the details of it, probably to the point where I could have spent time on more useful things. And ultimately,
I remember
I made the mistake of coding it all up in Objective-C on Apple's platforms, and then I couldn't really port it anywhere.
Well, I remember constantly yelling at you to finish stuff because I wanted to play the game.
Yeah.
And though I didn't understand exactly what you were doing, I really wanted you to finish stuff so I could play it. So I would make a new character or a new object, and it was like, can you just finish coding stuff so I can play with it? And so I remember yelling at you about that stuff.
Well, I really miss that game. I do too. I still, it's on my list of things to never do.
That you'll never get to.
Things to, yeah. Well, yeah. I'm kind of blaming partly myself, but also Apple. Well, I can't really blame Apple. I built it on their platforms, and so it's stuck in there. Yeah, it is. You're right. It is. I was short-sighted, and I built it all using Apple's own special Apple Land software, and then started trying to free it from the Apple prison by rewriting it all in C++, and that was just a massive task that I never finished. And so now it's in an awkward state where I don't know what to do with it. And Apple, they like deprecated OpenGL, which was the graphics framework that we built it on top of, because they're jerks, and they supported it as this free open thing up until it didn't serve them anymore. Now they have their own proprietary one. Anyway, whatever. I don't want to rant about that, but I'm still a little bit bitter at them for sucking.
Okay. Well, I think we've talked for a long time.
Yeah, that was fun. I guess we'll chat more next week.